This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was looking for someone to boost insect populations, I think probably the last person that I'd turn to would be a pest controller. But North Hearts Council's pest controller, Karen Green, was the brains behind first one, then two, and soon to be three bee corridors. With the help of fellow John O'Connor employee, grounds maintenance manager Gareth Towson, and guidance from the Bee Friendly Trust, she helped involve whole communities to support pollinators and perhaps even popularise long grass. Now, it was great to have Karen and Gareth here in the studio to tell us about their award-winning projects. And Gareth started by explaining what a bee corridor actually is.
Basically, a bee corridor is an insect pathway running between the countryside and through the towns, linking it all together.
So what exactly is involved in a bee corridor? Is it just council land, like verges that are planted with wildflowers, or what's it made up of?
Anybody can be part of the bee corridor. If you've got a garden and you can leave a piece of your garden dedicated to the bees, you can plant up with perennial plants or some wildflower seeds. If you live in a flat, you can put a wildflower seed in the window box or hanging baskets. Through town centres, the shopkeepers, they can have their planters. So anybody can be part of the bee corridor. It doesn't have to be open spaces or parks.
But do you have parts of the bee corridor in parks and open spaces?
Yeah, it starts in one of our parks. We sort of map it out to go round sort of town centres, residential places, schools, and back into parks. We've even got a roundabout that's part of it. The UK's first roundabout in Letchworth, and that is part of the bee corridor.
Marvellous. Well, that's great. And it's lovely, actually, that what you've done on public land is the sort of backbone of the bee corridor, and people can feel that they can join in with that. And how long is about the bee corridors you've worked on? Are we talking miles? Are we talking about 100 yards? Or
initially a couple of miles, but the project has just grown and grown and grown with more people getting involved with it, user groups, friends of groups, schools, people with their own gardens.
And within this bee corridor, you have got flowers carefully selected just for bees or for different pollinators. How have you chosen what you're putting into it?
We're not just looking for bees, we're looking for all pollinators. What we're basically looking for is continuity of flowering. So when one shrub or flower dies back, then the other one will come into bloom. So we're looking like flowering over spring, summer, autumn.
Yeah. Well, that sounds lovely. And also that's lovely for us to see as well. Flowers all year is marvellous,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Karen, you're the brains behind this. Where did the idea come from for a bee corridor?
So it started out with quite a simple idea. Being pest control and everyone perceiving that we kill everything, I wanted some beehives of our own with John O'Connor's and everything over them. I got it all planned out. After doing some research with the local beekeepers, we were quite surprised to find that actually there's not enough food to sustain the bees in the local area, because lots of people have now got their own bees. So I thought maybe we could spin it on its head, you know, John O'Connor's being grounds maintenance and pest control. Actually, I could take this idea to Gareth and say, you know, maybe we can then look to put more food back in for bees. And that's sort of where this little acorn grew. Luckily, Gareth agreed it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Together, sort of put our brains together and how we can develop it, you know, potentially what it could look like. And Gareth works alongside North Hearts Council.
So did you have to persuade them that it was a good idea then?
Yeah, so we took our ideas to North Harts Council, said, you know, this is what we were looking to do. We'd been told by Tanya at Culturewood, she does all the forest schools locally, and she said about the Bee Friendly Trust, they offer out bee friendly statuses for towns and different sites. So we thought, well, actually, with the criteria that they have, it's something that we could then go to the council, like, this is what we need to achieve. And we were really lucky that we got their backing, and it sort of snowballed from there.
Okay. So it sounds like this must have cost some money for all the seeds and things. Where did the money come from for this?
So John O'Connors have put money into this. The council have put money into it. We've been very lucky to get a lot of donations from local businesses as well. We had some donations from Hitchin Lavender, local garden centres. We've had community groups. You know, so there's all different ranges.
Marvellous. Well, that sounds great that you've been able to involve a lot of people from the funding point of view. But you've also really worked hard on community engagement to actually create the Bee Corridors. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, Gareth? Who you've got involved, how you've got them involved, what you've done with them?
We approach sort of the local schools, the user groups that volunteer in parks and do a lot of fantastic work around the parks, local businesses. Through the town centre, we was looking at shops and things, and they agreed to put in hanging baskets out, and their planters, they put like bee-friendly plants in rather than the horrible plastic plants that people use. Yeah, and it's just getting everybody involved in it. The response was absolutely fantastic, and it blew us away, to be honest.
That's great to hear that you had a good reception, and that, well, I suppose that it's great that people are keen to help bees and other pollinators. So you got bee-friendly status for Letchworth, and then you decided to move on to Royston earlier this year. Can you tell us how you did that expansion, how you managed to...
So initially we thought we'd start off with Letchworth. We'd got the backing of the council. We'd spoken to the town centre bid managers and got support from them. So we had a really good support network to start Letchworth as a let's try it for a year. You know, took some time. We see how it goes. We put in a lot of work and a lot of effort, don't we? There's like myself and Gareth, we oversee it. But then Sandy and Connor work on Gareth's grounds team have been absolutely amazing. So we've got some real dedicated team members. So we got Letchworth the bee-friendly status. We then took it to Royston. We did exactly the same thing. Spoke to lots of different businesses and groups and community members.
Yeah, the local town council were involved. We had meetings with them as well that have got connections with the local schools and user groups and things. So
yeah, local radio group groups and things. You know, they've all been great supporting us throughout all of it as well. So we were lucky enough that we found out, I think that was only back in April, June, so we got them a bee-friendly status. But on top of that, which we didn't realise was coming, we also then won a Green Apple International Environmental Award, which we were really chuffed with, and we thought that was the end of it. We then proceeded and be put in for a Green World International Environmental Award, which we got most recently. And then as of Monday, myself and Gareth got to go to St Paul's Cathedral to go and collect a Green World Ambassador Award.
Wow.
And this is all just what's been generated with the evidence from our project.
So somebody thinks that what you're doing is fantastic. Obviously, the residents of Letchworth and of Royston are very happy with what you and they have done there as far as all the flowers go. How about as far as the insects go? Have you noticed an increase in pollinating insects in these areas?
Originally, we were putting it in, and then people were sort of asking, can you measure what you're doing? So we were lucky enough that our sustainability officer that we have came up with an app, and I got to get the name right.
I believe it's called iNaturalist.
It's an amazing app, so you can almost set like a project area, so for instance, Letchworth or Royston, and then we can go round and start it by doing initial, you know, what trees are in the area. If you're out and you saw a bee, then you can take a photo of it and you can add it. Well, now it's something I can then roll out to residents and say, right, if you're in the area, take a photo, and they can do it in their gardens or anything like that. And it all adds. So once we've then put in and changed areas and put in more bee-friendly plants, we should then start seeing an increase of like your insects and your different things. But it means that, again, we can use residents and the local communities to help us prove what we're doing and for the good. So it's nice that it's not just us saying, oh, we've done this and that's, you know, the end of it. It's nice that actually residents can help keep adding to it.
Yes.
And it all goes onto an app. And then there's actually people that approve, because if you're like me, I'm not so great at the plant side. Gareth is definitely the better. So like, you can take a picture of it and then someone will properly verify these things for you to make sure that they're labelled right. So yeah, it's been really good. We've used it over the last sort of year, wasn't it? I think since the last one. So, and then we're going to roll into Baldock next. So we're hoping to do the same. It gives you a baseline, and then once we've done it, we can then keep adding to it. So we should see an improvement.
That sounds brilliant. And here on Environment Matters, we always love a bit of citizen science, and that sounds like a brilliant way of being able to show the benefit of your bee corridors there. So your plans are now to move to Baldock.
Yep.
That sounds right. Yep. For bee corridors there. Is this something that could be applied in other areas of Hertfordshire? If we like the idea of what you're saying, could we speak to our councils and say, could you get John O'Connor to do this around our way?
I don't think you even need to have, I mean, it could be, it's always good to have the backing of the local councils, you know, and I dare say there'd be many of them that would. But I think anybody could start it, really. You know, if you go on the Bee Friendly Trust, it's on there for the Bee Friendly Awards, and they give you a criteria that you have to hit. I dare say there's lots of community groups or environmental groups that could start it. By all means, speak to your local councils, because I can't see why they wouldn't want to be involved as well. And it would be great to see more people, you know, get more bee-friendly statuses.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I mean, we're concentrating on North Harts, and like Karen said, we've done Letchworth and Royston. Baldock is the next on our hit list, if you like, and then Hitchin. Ideally, we'd like to get it for the whole of North Harts, but there's nothing to stop the bee corridor being taken on by in Hatfield Council or St Albans. So, you know, so it's just one big bee corridor. I don't think the bees know boundaries, do they?
I think you're right, and that is really very lovely. Now, inevitably, things like bee corridors do involve a bit of long grass, and I just wondered whether you'd had any negative feedback as far as bee corridors go.
Yeah, I think you'll always get a bit of negative feedback. I think people are so used to formal parks and things, and I think educating people that you need things like your ecotones, so you've got your formal areas, but then as you're coming into tree lines or hedges, letting the grass grow longer and things, it encourages the bees, all pollinators, insects. If you get the insects coming to the area, then you've got more birds in the area. It's just all good, you know, and I think once people realise what you're doing, and you know, there is that education, they take it on board, and everybody benefits, because it's just nice being in the park, seeing the butterflies, the bees, the birds. It's just what's not like to like.
Indeed, and I suppose it also shows one of the important elements of your bee corridor project, and that's community involvement. So you've been part of that education, haven't you?
Yeah, and it is just a massive community project. It's not about the local authority or John O'Connor's or winning awards. It's just a big community project.
And I think of it is benefiting a lot of youngsters as well, because, you know, I mean, Gareth and that were lucky enough to go to one of the schools where they've got like a little environmental group that they have. We got to tell the kids about these. So we make like little seed bombs with them so they can take them home and plant them, teaching them how to make little watering stations for bees to put in the garden, you know, all these little things. So I think out of the project, even when we do our community days and we attend other local events, we did bug hotels, didn't we, with cups. So a lot of it is education for kids as well.
Yeah, indeed. And it's something nice and positive that they can do to help the environment, which a lot of them are very concerned about as well. Mm. So you've actually done this sort of extracurricularly, is it? You know, as you say, Karen, you're a pest controller. This really isn't part of your job as such, is it? It's something you've done because you feel passionate about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, well, both myself and Gareth, we did a beekeeping course, didn't we? it's something that I've always found them fascinating. You know, it just sort of went hand in hand with pest control. It'd be great to have bees, but if it means that we're going to ultimately add to the problem, it seemed like a silly thing. And it's like, well, actually, if we've got pest control and grounds, we can flip the whole thing on its head. You know, day to day, we both manage contracts. So it's like, it's completely separate, but it's, you know, it's just an add-on. It's a feel-good factor and something that we really do believe in. And the fact that it has snowballed into such a big project, and it's just been recognised off its own back, you know, for us, that's a reward in itself.
Yeah, Marcus. And the last event we done, we had the RSPB there, we had the Wildlife Trust there, we had the local beekeepers there, and again, it's great that the families come along and they can talk to these people, and you know, it's just all education and educating people and enjoying parks and open spaces and long grass.
Yeah.
And long grass. I love that. Well, look, I think it sounds like a great idea. I think the job you've done is fantastic, and it's brilliant that it's been recognised by so many awards. It would be lovely to see the whole thing spread throughout Hertfordshire. And a big thank you, Gareth, Karen, for coming and telling us about it today. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great to spread the word.
I was talking there to Karen Green and Gareth Towson of North Hats Council's contractors, John O'Connor. Now, of course, these bee corridors are not the only projects that we've heard about here on Environment Matters to help bees and other pollinators. Sandridge Parish Council have worked on their pollinator paradise. We've heard about schools like Beaumont School in St Albans incorporating pollinator plantings in their school grounds. And there's the St Albans-based Wildhood Watchers Pollinator Highways, encouraging neighbours to provide a whole street of pollinator-friendly habitat. And you'll find podcasts where you can hear about all of these brilliant projects on the podcast page of mix926.com, where you'll also find the podcast of this show, which in notes has the useful links to the Bee Friendly Trust and the iNaturalist app that Karen and Gareth told us about. And whilst it's probably not the best time to be planting flowers to help pollinators, if you'd like to do something to help, putting out a shallow dish of water with some pebbles in it to act like little islands, something that we can all do and could be the lifeline that pollinators near you need in this hot, dry weather. Oh yes, and the other one, of course, is making sure that you sit in the shade with a cool drink rather than sweating it out behind a lawnmower. That's another positive step that I, for one, will be taking. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.